Greetings, warriors, veterans, and American living citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Colonel Bill Prince from the MacArthur Society of West Point graduates. Then Gill and Skip will present The Border in a Book. And of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. So it's a pleasure to introduce a fellow West Pointer, a fellow Vietnam vet, and a fellow infantryman, retired Colonel Bill Prince. He left active duty to work for the CIA, where he received the highest awards for valor. He stayed in the Army Reserves. He ended up with 11 deployments to Afghanistan and Iraq, and a lot of time in a lot of other places. So welcome to the show, Bill. Glad you could join us.
Greetings, Denny, and I genuinely appreciate you having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, we got too much in common. It might be dangerous. Anyway, Bill, start by telling us about your time in the Army. Why did you want to go to West Point?
Denny, it's probably not what you think, and I'll make it as quick as I possibly can. I was a freshman at Indiana University in ROTC, and I made the mistake of reading a book entitled The Green Berets by Robin Moore, and I read several of the old James Bond novels, and I decided, hey, I have a plan. I'm going to go be a Green Beret in Vietnam, and then I'm going to serve overseas undercover for the CIA. I mean, I was an 18-year-old kid. What did I know? Well, at least I had a plan, which was more than I'd had when I left high school and went off to college. My dad had finished in World War II in Europe as an acting battalion commander. He was ROTC. But he said, you know, if you're really serious about the Army, you ought to try and go to West Point. Now, remember, he was ROTC, but he said, really, the best officers that I saw, leaders that I saw in World War II, came out of West Point. So if you're serious about the Army, why don't you try and go to West Point? And so I did. And surviving 4 years there, I wanted to take a commission in the infantry and volunteer right away for Vietnam.
And you served in Vietnam, and then you got out and did join the CIA, didn't you?
I did. I spent 8 years on active duty, a lot of time, 82nd and Special Forces, and was an aide de camp. And then the agency offered me a job. And so I said, well, okay. But I kept a reserve commission and did my active duties and managed to get promoted up to 06. So that was a As far as I was concerned, it was a win-win. I felt it helped the agency because I was serving overseas and was pretty current in Army stuff and military stuff. And I felt it helped the Army, too, because I was bringing some of the skills from the intelligence business back into the Army. And so in retrospect, I thought it worked out rather well. I managed to spend a great deal of time in hostile areas, Somalia, El Salvador, Haiti, Bosnia, as you mentioned earlier, 11 deployments between Iraq and Afghanistan, Colombia, Pakistan, there are quite a few others. But in all of those places, I worked, well, virtually all of those places, I worked very closely with the U.S. military, which is why I have such a heart for West Point and such a heart for the professionalism of our military and the threats that we face, because I've seen them overseas up close and personal.
Well, that sounds like a real life story. Yours is a little more exciting than mine, but that's okay. This is Colonel Denny Gillum in Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Colonel Bill Prince. Okay, Bill, you are now leading the MacArthur Society. Tell us about it. It's sort of an association of West Point graduates. What is it? Why was it founded? What's its goal?
I'd like to read the one-sentence mission statement for the Society, and it is to preserve, defend, and advocate for West Point's history, purpose, and principles of duty, honor, country. So that should give you an idea of why we were so concerned when the superintendent decided to eliminate duty, honor, country from the official West Point mission statement. I'd like to get into that in just a few more minutes. But we formed not all that long ago, in June of 23, we're less than a year old. And it was a gathering of very concerned West Point graduates who decided we needed to try to help West Point return to foundational principles. And Denny, I want to emphasize, and I feel that I speak for the entire society, West Point gets a lot right. And I've served with West Point graduates in Iraq, Afghanistan, all over the world, basically. West Point gets a lot right. We're concerned with probably a half dozen key issues that I'd like to get into with you that we think are harming and have great potential to do serious damage to the cadets at West Point.
Bill, that makes real sense, because everything I can see as a grad interacting with other people, West Point is still doing a really good job in a lot of ways. But there are some situations, there are some values, there are some orientations, I don't know what to call it, that bother me a great deal, which is why I joined the MacArthur Society. Okay, take us down that road.
Denny, I'd like to go over a couple of our key concerns or issues that we're advocating for. The first one I'd like to talk about is we are demanding an elimination of racial discrimination in admissions. We believe that admissions should be, the admission of a candidate should be governed completely by the content of that individual's character and not the color of his or her skin. We believe in merit over group identity. And we have statistics that show that West Point excluding better qualified candidates over less qualified candidates results in the less qualified candidates having a much higher attrition rate. We have seen statistics that West Point admits approximately 20% of each class. Those individuals are marginally or poorly qualified, and they do that in order to reach what they call class composition goals. I refer to those as quotas. West Point refers to them as class composition goals. So that's a big thing we're advocating for. Merit over group identity. And we're following on the Supreme Court decision against my second alma mater, Harvard, and the University of North Carolina. So that's one of our big ones. Another one, Denny, is we are advocating for an elimination of racial stereotyping to include the condemning of DEI and CRT, critical race theory. In August, I went to West Point to attend the Office of Diversity, Inclusion, and Equal Opportunity Conference, two-day conference back at West Point. And I was troubled because at that DEI conference, and I want to say there were a lot of well-meaning people at that conference, I think it was 200 or 300 people attended that. They would start with a diversity of ideas, the importance of a diversity of ideas. The superintendent led off in his introductory remarks. Diversity of ideas, great. Everybody agreed with that.
Yes.
But what I found, they quickly slopped over into that means we need more women and more minorities in positions of responsibility. Well, that's not the same thing. Having women or minorities doesn't necessarily mean that those folks are going to bring a diversity of ideas. Yet another thing that we're demanding is transparency. We believe that West Point should obey federal law, for example, in responding to Freedom of Information Act requests. I told the superintendent personally at the Board of Visitors meeting that I attended here on the 7th of March, I said, I recruit for West Point. Do you know how humiliating it is for us in the field that it takes a lawsuit to force West Point to tell the truth about teaching critical race theory? Oh, yeah, he didn't like to hear that. And I also said, by federal law, the military academy or any federal agency has 20 business days to respond to a Freedom of Information Act request. I told Steve Gillen, the superintendent, I said, I've been waiting over 2 years now for a response to what I consider to be a fairly simple Freedom of Information Act request that I submitted. I've been waiting over 2 years. Well, he wasn't real pleased to hear that.
Either. Well, I can understand that. And there's more to discuss about West Point, and Bill's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Go halfway down, do about 40. I do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. Bill and I will be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
You know, you see a huge group of people and maybe they're in line to do something and they seem happy about it. You have to wonder, okay, what am I missing? What's going on here? What are these people excited about? Well, in this case, it's thousands of people and they're joining MediShare. Why? Well, MediShare is a much more affordable alternative to health insurance. It's reliable too. It's a well-run community of Christians. They've been sharing each other's medical expenses for more than 30 years. And if you switch, you'll likely save hundreds of dollars a month. Most members wind up paying about half what they used to. And you know what? They find they like it better. MediShare's member satisfaction rate is 98%. That's way better than health insurance, as you might imagine. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. You get telehealth 24/7. Huge freedom in choosing your doctors. At least check into it. This may be one of those things where you're like, why didn't I do this a long time ago? Why not start saving now? Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Colonel Bill Prince about the MacArthur Society of West Point grads. Bill, you were talking to us about your visit at West Point for the DEI conference and the conversations you had, I think, with the superintendent we were talking about when the last segment ended. Pick it up from there, bro.
The conversation that I had with the superintendent was actually at the West Point Board of Visitors meeting in Washington, D.C. on the 7th of March. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that, two more concerns that many of us have, which bear on the Board of Visitors. Now, the Board of Visitors, very quickly, these consist of senators, congressmen appointed, and then presidential appointees. Each service academy has a Board of Visitors. The West Point Board of Visitors met on, as I said, on the 7th of March. And their job is to be watchdogs, to make sure that West Point is living up to and accomplishing the mission that they have to prepare cadets to be leaders of character in the United States Army. One of the concerns that the MacArthur Society has, we are advocating for a return to a resolute honor code. And that stems actually from not this past March 7th Board of Visitors meeting, but the previous year's Board of Visitors meeting in March 2023, when the superintendent advised the Board of Visitors that, and I'm quoting here, USMA was reviewing the honor code to make it more aspirational in nature. Whoa, Denny, when we were there, it was a cadet does not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do.
Amen.
And in our time, the cadets ran the honor code. Now it's different. The faculty has a major role to play in who's expelled for honor violation. But a lot of us took note of this. Well, wait a minute, we want to make the honor code more aspirational. What exactly does that mean? Is it, in other words, it's the honor code is something that the superintendent hopes that cadets will aspire to achieve? So we are advocating for a return to a resolute ironclad honor code. And then the last thing that I'd like to go over with you, Denny, is what happened at this most recent Board of Visitors meeting when the superintendent announced, almost in passing, it seemed to me, I was sitting in the very back row as a visitor, and he announced that West Point was eliminating duty, honor, country from the official USMA mission statement. Whoa, that gave me pause as soon as he said that. And we in the MacArthur Society, we publicized that, and it went to overuse, or to use an overused term, it went viral. Denny, it got all the way across the Atlantic to a newspaper in England publishing this, that West Point was eliminating duty, honor, country from its official mission statement. Personal opinion. But it seemed to me that West Point, very quickly, as this story got out and went viral, went into damage control. The superintendent put out a letter in which he stated, and I'm quoting here, "Thus, over the past year and a half, working with leaders from across West Point and external stakeholders, we reviewed our vision, mission, and strategy to serve this purpose." Well, wait a minute. So he's saying he's been working with external stakeholders for the past year and a half. Well, Denny, you're an old grad as I am. Did you hear that the SNOOP was getting ready to eliminate duty, honor, country from the mission statement? Did you hear about that?
No, sir.
Nor did I, nor did anyone that I've talked to. And who exactly are these external stakeholders with whom the superintendent said he has been working for the last year and a half? It appears that the Association of Graduates knew nothing about this. I would submit that a good definition of an external stakeholder for West Point would be an old grad, a member of the long gray line. And we have some folks, Denny, who watch events at West Point pretty carefully. And over the last 18 months, and then the superintendent later said he changed that to that this has been in the works for 2 years, that how is it that nobody knew that this was coming? It seemed to be that they wanted to do this, in my opinion, they wanted to do this under the radar. And that leads into my last point. I fear that West Point has a serious credibility or transparency problem. And I think there's been a breakdown in trust based on West Point, especially the previous superintendent, not responding to letters, to include not responding to letters from members of Congress, for goodness sake. The scandal in March of 2022, where cadets overdosed on cocaine and fentanyl down here in Fort Lauderdale, virtually worldwide, West Point never published any resolution on that, what happened, what actions they were taking. So West Point now says that West Point grads are, you are overreacting to all of this elimination of duty, honor, country.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Colonel Bill Prince about West Point. Bill, I definitely want to stay in touch, and we got to fight this fight. And you've hit all the key points, too. I mean, we just got to fight. We just have to.
Denny, there's still a few of us around that remember stumbling through the jungle in Vietnam. I fear that if the military academy, U.S. Army, our military, even our society, continues to deteriorate in our resolve to, for example, protect our borders, to maintain a strong military, I fear that we will pay in blood. I fear that we are in for some very difficult times over the future.
Oh, how could we not?
Denny, when Kabul fell, I got asked by an organization called the American Security Council Foundation right after Kabul fell. I was going to do a podcast with them on something else, but they said, you know, you spent a fair amount of time in Vietnam, you spent a lot of time in Afghanistan. Would you do a podcast on the compare and contrast ramifications or something like that? I did. The executive summary of that was at the end, and this is 3 or 4 days, maybe a week after Kabul fell. In the podcast, I said, I believe that the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, and the North Koreans will look upon this and come to the conclusion, right or wrong, that this administration is either weak or incompetent or both, and they will take this opportunity to press us. I said that within a week of Kabul falling. And I can't claim to be clairvoyant, but in retrospect, the Russians, the Chinese, the North Koreans, the Iranians have all started to press us. Now, you may not think that this administration is weak or incompetent, personal opinion, but I've been overseas enough to know that these other countries watch us very closely and carefully. And they will, I believe, take an opportunity to continue to push us. And I did my master's thesis at Harvard on Iranian capability to conduct terrorist or covert operations in the Western Hemisphere. That was my thesis. And I think we're in for some tough times. I hope I'm wrong.
I agree with you. I hope we're wrong. Thank you, Bill, for sharing this important information today. Thank you for your service to our nation in the Army, in the CIA, and especially now.
Thank you, sir.
If you want to stay plugged in and follow what the MacArthur Society is doing, you can do it by going to MacArthurSociety.org. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, Gil and Skip will present the Marine B&B. It's about the southern border and a book. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you are giving serious thought to buying silver and gold to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Group, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net is here to help all veterans, active military, and families. HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with their everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, discounted services, or information on retirement benefits, financial resources, and much more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all your needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net. Never forget, never forgotten.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And now it's time for Marine B&B. Marine vet Gil Mazza, a retired border patrolman, will discuss our nation's southern border. Welcome, Gil.
And morning, sir.
And Marine vet and author Skip Coriel will discuss another interesting book. Welcome, Skip.
Thank you, Colonel.
Yeah, time for you to talk, Skip.
That's right. My wife said it's time for me to shut up, but go ahead.
Well, she has some wisdom too. Okay, Gil, you're up. Given the millions of unknowns that have crossed and are crossing our border, how can there be anything but more crime here? Crime and probably election interference?
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. We're in 1,175th day of this catastrophic Biden border invasion, right? And just when you think it can't get any worse, and we are looking at these criminal elements, not just the cartels taking control of the entire border, right? They control the entire border 100%. Everybody will tell you that. The retired chiefs, the Border Patrol Union, they'll all say the same thing. They have complete control. But now what are we seeing, Colonel? We're seeing all these criminal gangs taking major footholds in all the major cities in America. Crime is rampant. Bill Malusian from Fox News said that they can't even keep up reporting how many Americans are being killed by illegals on a daily basis. So the problem is, while we have been watching the southern border with utter horror and fascination, right? Just watching people pile in 6,000-7,000 per day, just pile in for all this time. At the same time, the more smarter liberals are out there starting to figure out how they're going to tamper or affect these elections. And the illegal alien is the major component of that entire scheme.
Okay, how does that work?
Well, first of all, we know that in the next coming census, 2031, all these new illegals that are in this country are going to be counted. Okay. And right now we're upwards to 50 million or more, counting what we've had in the country, plus all the ones that have just come in the last 3 years. So we've already seen in the last census that six states in America got their electoral voting colleges changed in favor of the Democrats. So what do you think is going to happen when they count these other millions and millions that have come in the last 3 years? Another thing that's going on, and this just came out by a fraud investigator named Jay Valentine, is that the illegal aliens they're sending to all these states, and especially the swing states, are getting phones, debit cards, and all these religious non-government organizations that are helping out with the process of basically flooding our country with illegals and furthering them into the country, are registering them to vote, not only in one state, but they fly the same group of illegals to other states and they vote. And now they are literally glutting all these other states with Democrat votes. They may not go vote themselves, but their votes are definitely going to be harvested and counted throughout all these states that are key to success to whoever wins the election.
Wow. And no media is covering that, not even real media. It's not obvious, I guess, right?
Well, that's the thing, is that the way they're doing it under the radar, they have fake homeless addresses. There's like all these buildings with no beds in them. They just go and register. And even in the forms that they fill out themselves, you can put in homeless and not have to worry about it. You don't have to have an ID card. You don't have to have any kind of proof of exactly who you are. It's just a bunch of names that are going to get harvested and registered. And that is going to be a real problem for us. And there's always some kind of tampering. I believe there's always some kind of voting tampering going on one way or the other. But this is going to be on a scale that, you know, this country has never seen, I believe.
Wow. That is beyond horrible.
Well, the problem, too, is, Colonel, is that while the liberal Democrats and the leftists are playing the long game, right, they're playing chess. I'm afraid that our conservative counterparts are still playing chutes and ladders.
You know, that's true. Too many of us are naive and think that just being honest will prevail when you're dealing with people like that. That's a problem.
Yeah, well, we better start getting our head in the game and getting ready for some guerrilla warfare tactics here, because they have pulled out all the stops, right? I mean, they literally can stand up there in front of America and tell us everything is fine. You know, we're not paying 40% more for everything, you know, that we spend. The border is still secure. All these things that they can just boldface lie to our face, and somehow they don't get fact checked.
Gosh, what can we say about that? Gil, thank you. That's information that our listeners, indeed all Americans, need.
Yeah, pay attention.
Brother.
Thank you.
Hey, I really appreciate you, even if you are a Marine.
Thank you, Colonel.
This is Colonel Denny Gill on Frontlines of Freedom. We're doing the Marine B&B with Gil and Skip. Okay, Skip, you're up. What's the book?
Well, the name of the book this month is The Giant Killer, American Hero, Mercenary, by The Incredible True Story of the Smallest Man to Serve in the U.S. Military, Green Beret Captain Richard J. Flaherty. It's like the smallest man to serve in the Army, but the longest title of any book in history.
Well, the balance, but, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, you know, this guy, Richard J. Flaherty, this was back during the Vietnam era. He was over there, you know, when you were over there, Colonel.
Sure.
This guy was 4'9" tall and weighed 97 pounds. It took him 3 years to get a waiver to get into the Army, just because of his height and his weight. But, you know, he ended up being a Green Beret captain. It wasn't enough just to be in the Army. He was in the 101st Airborne.
Hoo-ah.
Over there. Yes, I know. But this guy, he won the Silver Star, two Bronze Stars, and two Purple Hearts. And he, man, his combat was just, it was incredible. The things that he witnessed, that he went through, it was like the worst of the worst. He was over there, you know, during Tet like you were. So he saw a lot of heavy fighting. But then, you know, he joined the Green Beret and did a lot of work with the CIA. He did a lot of work over in, you know, countries that he wasn't even supposed to be in and things like that. But, and then afterwards, he also did work with the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency, as an undercover agent. And then he worked extensively with the CIA. This was after his military service. And then also with the ATF doing a sting operation. So this guy just did all kinds of things. But the thing that really opened my eyes to all of this is after all of that, he ended up being homeless because of his PTSD. It was just, it's a very sad story. He ended up being hit by a hit and run driver. But his mental state of mind after going through all of that stuff that he did in the war and all the undercover things, he actually wanted to be homeless, or at least he thought he wanted to be homeless. And he spent 15 years living on the streets. And the book was written by David Yazook, who was a police officer down in Aventura, Florida, who knew him for 15 years as a homeless person. And it was interesting because the 2 weeks before Richard Flaherty died, he confessed to the police officer that he'd known for 15 years. Oh, by the way, you know, I was a captain in the Green Beret, fought in Vietnam, and, you know, had Purple Hearts and Silver Stars and Bronze Stars. It was just, it's an amazing story. People can get it on Amazon in audiobook or in paperback. I highly recommend this.
Sure sounds like a story that we need to know about. That's awesome. Thank you, Skip. I appreciate that. That's an amazing story that I can see why you picked it.
It was great, Colonel.
Well, thank you, Skip. Really, we're really good at putting up with each other, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And now we're putting up with Gil, too.
We are. And thank you, Gil, for joining the Frontlines of Freedom team and for your service to our nation.
It's my pleasure, Colonel. I thank you.
Skip, you're back on in a minute. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag, then it's military history. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease. It's that time of the year again. The U.S. Mint is making their new 2024 American Silver Eagle and American Gold Eagle coins, and there's no better time to shore up your investment in precious metals than now. Call Universal Coin and Bullion at 800 UCB Gold to get great prices on the finest gold and silver coins of the year. I work with Universal Coin and Bullion because they're a company that you can trust. So give them a call at 800 UCB Gold. That's 800 UCB Gold, or check them out at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Hey, I do a bit of coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a great place to go to purchase silver and gold. I know them. They're good people. Go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Danny at frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Mike wrote, I love this podcast, and this is my first time listening.
Thanks, Mike. I hope we continue to meet your needs and expectations.
And Army vet Peter wrote that he really appreciates hearing the whole truth about the fighting in Israel. How can so many people be in favor of terrorists and against Israel?
Peter, I have no idea. The Jews have been persecuted through most of history, including here in the U.S. I will say that the continued support of terrorists really surprises me. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 18 April 1775, British troops march out of Boston on a mission to confiscate the American arsenal at Concord and to capture Patriot leaders Samuel Adams and John Hancock, known to be hiding at Lexington. As the British departed, Boston Patriots Paul Revere and William Dawes set out on horseback from the city to warn Adams and Hancock and rouse the Minutemen. About 5 a.m. on April 19, 700 British troops under Major John Pitcairn arrived at the town to find a 77-man-strong colonial militia under Captain John Parker waiting for them on Lexington's Common Green. Pitcairn ordered the outnumbered Patriots to disperse, and after a moment's hesitation, the Americans began to drift off the green. Suddenly, the shot heard round the world was fired from an undetermined gun, and a cloud of musket smoke soon covered the green. When the brief battle of Lexington ended, 8 Americans lay dead and 10 others were wounded. Only one British soldier was injured. The American Revolution had begun.
It wasn't pretty, but it sure began, and we won ultimately. And on 18 April 1942, during World War II, 16 American B-25 bombers launched from aircraft carrier USS Hornet 650 miles east of Japan and commanded by Lieutenant Colonel James Doolittle attacked the Japanese mainland. The now famous Tokyo raid did little real damage to Japan. Wartime Premier Hideki Tojo was inspecting military bases during the raid. One B-25 came so close Tojo could see the pilot. Though the American bomber never fired a shot, but it certainly did hurt Japanese government's prestige. Believing the air raid had been launched from Midway Island, approval was given to Admiral Isoko Yamamoto's plan to attack on Midway, which would also damage Japanese prestige. Doolittle was eventually awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor.
And on 17 April 1943, during World War II, Lieutenant Ross Bullard and Boatswain's Mate First Class Mike Hall boarded the German sub U-175 at sea after their cutter, the CGC Spencer, blasted the U-boat to the surface with depth charges. When the U-boat attempted to attack the convoy the Spencer was escorting, they were part of a boarding party sent to seize the U-boat before the Nazi crew could scuttle it. The damage to the U-boat was severe, however, and it sank after both had boarded it and climbed the conning tower. Both men ended up in the water as it slipped beneath the waves. Nevertheless, they carry the distinction of being the first American servicemen to board an enemy warship underway at sea since the War of 1812. 41 of the U-boat's crew were rescued.
Amazing. And on April 16, 1944, again World War II, the Coast Guard cutter manned destroyer escort USS Joyce, along with her sister ship, the USS Peterson, sank the German submarine U-550 off New York. After the U-boat torpedoed a tanker that was part of a convoy, the warships were escorting to England.
And on 16 April 1947, an act of Congress gave Navy Nurse Corps members commissioned rank. That was a good idea, I think.
Yeah. And on the 15th of April, 1952, President Harry Truman signed the official Japanese peace treaty. The war was long over. The Japanese had surrendered, but we had been occupying Japan as we led them in rebuilding their government and their industry. Now, the Japanese people controlled their own nation.
And we gained an ally.
We did.
And on 17 April 1961, the Bay of Pigs invasion began when a CIA-financed and trained group of Cuban refugees landed in Cuba and attempted to topple the communist government of Fidel Castro. The attack was an utter failure. The failure cost the U.S. dearly. Castro used the attack by the Yankee imperialist to solidify his power in Cuba, and he requested additional Soviet military aid. Eventually, that aid included missiles, and the construction of missile bases in Cuba sparked the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962, when the U.S. and the Soviet Union nearly came to blows over the issue. Further, throughout much of Latin America, the U.S. was pilloried for its use of armed force in trying to unseat Castro, a man who was considered a hero to many for his stance against U.S. interference and imperialism. Kennedy tried to redeem himself by publicly accepting blame for the attack and its subsequent failure. It didn't work.
That was a scary time. And on 15 April 1962, during the war in Vietnam, Marine Corps operational involvement in the Vietnam War began when the USS Princeton brought HMM 362 with its UH-34 helicopters to Sóc Trăng, south of Saigon. The unit was called Shoe Fly, and its first operational employment involved lifting Vietnamese troops into battle. We didn't put U.S. combat troops into the war until 1965.
And on 16 April 1977, the ban on women attending West Point was lifted.
As long after I was gone. And on the 15th of April 2004, during the war in Iraq, a man identifying himself as Osama bin Laden offered a truce to European countries that do not attack Muslims, saying it would begin when their soldiers left Islamic nations. And that was it. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for the self-defense report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, about 3:15 p.m., the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department received a call regarding a shooting at the Turnberry Towers in Las Vegas. Andrew Warrender shot his AR-15 rifle at an employee before his weapon malfunctioned. While trying to clear the malfunction, another armed employee engaged the criminal, firing 12 rounds, causing him to drop his rifle. The armed employee then called police and held the criminal until their arrival. Warrender was taken to the hospital and then charged with attempted murder, 2 counts of assault with the use of a deadly weapon, and illegally discharging a gun.
Thanks, Colonel. The fact that armed citizens are highly effective at stopping mass murderers is a well-kept secret by the mainstream media. The fact is this. According to analysis of FBI crime data, armed citizens were successful at stopping active shooters 75.8% of the time and were successful in reducing the loss of life an additional 18.2%. Folks, that means that 94% of the time when an armed citizen engages an active shooter, they are successful at saving innocent lives. Most people don't know that simply because the media doesn't report it. Unfortunately, over 90% of all mass shooting events occur in gun-free zones where citizens aren't allowed to carry. I strongly believe that the best way to stop a bad guy with a gun is with a good guy with a gun, as this analysis by John Lott so clearly shows. Here are some guidelines to follow should you ever encounter a mass murderer. First, the number one rule to a gunfight is this: bring a gun. That's why I carry my own firearm every time I leave my house. The odds of you taking down an armed attacker go down exponentially when you don't have equal firepower. Second, get behind cover. Cover is anything that will stop a bullet. That's one thing that combat soldiers learn quickly in their first firefight. Make yourself small and get behind something that stops bullets. Third, quickly form a plan to take out the shooter. You have to be fast because every time you hear a gunshot, an innocent person may have just died. In most cases, you'll have to shoot the attacker in order to stop him. If you can surprise him from behind, that enhances your chances of success. And finally, before you take the shot, take very careful aim, clear your mind, and lower your heart rate and rate of breathing as much as possible. Also, check to make sure there is no one beyond the target that you might hit. If there is, wait for a clear shot or change the angle of your bullet. If the murderer is wearing body armor, you'll aim for the center of the head. Otherwise, shoot him as many times as possible in the torso until he goes down or drops his weapon and flees. Once the threat stops, you must also stop. Then call 911 and ask for help. After that, call your lawyer. This particular armed citizen did a great job taking on a would-be mass murderer armed with an AR-15 carbine with only his 9mm handgun. Front Lines of Freedom salutes his bravery and superior use of tactics.
Well said, Skip. I sure agree. Our movie of the month is Forever Tonight, You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, get the link, and watch it there for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, retired Air Force General Chris Mookie Walker will discuss his career and his goals. Then we'll meet Nathan Chang, a young man who is headed to enter West Point this July. Then we'll discuss the Veterans of Foreign Wars with Ray Lopez, and General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, be proud, Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the Frontlines of Freedom. Dismissed.